We're back with week 14 of Brands Cast. I'm your host, Taylor Jedrzak, and to get that out of the way first. I'm here with Matt and Gerbs, as usual, for the Thursday preview. We got a week 14 home game against the Jaguars, which has all kinds of intrigue, and none of it is for reasons that either team want.
No, not
at all. It's because both teams are beat to hell.
There's attrition, and then there's this game.
It is just the battle of the walking wounded at this point.
that meme I put in the Discord. The Browns injury report finally met its match this week.
Right.
The Browns injury report has been a CVS receipt for the last month, and they finally are playing a team that has a similar one. I think when they played the Rams last week, the Rams had, what, three or four guys on their injury report?
Something like that, yeah.
I think we have 20.
It's not that kind.
Wait, I mean, I'm gonna do a quick count here.
It's a lot.
It's close to 20. 4, 8, 12, 6, 18.
I thought I did a quick read of 16 on Cleveland, but okay.
I miscounted, but 16, 18, both are a lot.
Yeah, it's not what you want. December. It's what you're going to get in December. But I will say a lot of those were, if you go down, Petonio was a rest day yesterday.
Miles
Garrett was a rest day yesterday. Njoku rest day. This is what they do. So those are ones that are, Miles practiced in full today. So that's a good news. Mm-hmm. It adds to things that don't necessarily need to be added to, because you have so many of these that are, rest. So it makes it look worse than it is. But yeah, it's not, again, not what you want, but it's what we have this year, and that's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna go with.
Yeah, I will say the Browns are probably in a better place overall than the Jaguars. In terms of the injuries for this week, I mean, yes, we're down to our fourth quarterback. We know, we've been there. We've talked through this ad nauseum.
We are?
That's news to me.
Both of their top two quarterbacks were limited today. Their leading receiver is not going to play this week and probably won't play for a few more weeks. And their starting left tackle has not practiced yet this week. So, in terms of the scale of injuries, yes, we're down to our fourth quarterback, but our guys are at least kind of coming back. Their guys all just got hurt on Monday.
Yeah, so it's pretty much just who might be healthy at the right time type of game, where it's, especially with the weather, who has enough guys, who will make enough plays, and pretty much ultimately, will anybody just step up? Because both sides are just pretty much in hell right now with these injuries.
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of pointed that out. I pointed out a similarity on when we did our pod on Monday, that I was watching the Sunday night game, the Taylor Swift game on Sunday night, and Chris Collinsworth made the point that all five of the Chiefs' opening day offensive linemen are still, they have played every single game, and none of their starting secondary has missed a game. See, that's how you win. Clearly, yes, they lost on Sunday, but they're 8-4.
Sorry. the juxtaposition of, this is how you win. They lost, but this is how you win.
And it was this is just how really... you win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Should have qualified it. this is how you're able to win down the stretch. You're healthy.
Just hit me as funny. That's all I gotta say.
I get it. the Browns are not a healthy team. So
healthy and yet injury wise. They're okay, like it's not an evil team like it was before, or like a like real bad team like organizationally, health wise, mental health.
No, we're certainly like in the last 2 days or 3 days there have been stories that have come out about other franchises where someone in our Discord has said hashtag not the Browns.
Right.
whether it was the Panthers being a dysfunctional mess, or someone that works for the Jaguars stealing $22 million.
Correct. And then Coach. Sean McDermott's like having a speech back in 2019 about 9/11 and togetherness. Like that should not be a thing, but it happened.
None of these things happened to the Browns, and we should be happy about that.
Right.
But you know, kind of getting into this game on Sunday.
Is that what we're here for?
Yeah, allegedly. We're certainly not here to watch the Thursday night football debacle.
This is the Sickos game. Currently. This is the instead of Sickos, I've come up. I saw a tweet that I thought was really funny.
Masochus?
And I want to make sure that I say it. This is the you gotta call the number game. And it's because of the tweet was if you're betting, it was about when the Patriots played the Giants. If you're watching if you're betting on the Patriots or Giants game, you gotta call the bet responsibly number.
The 1-800 gambler number.
Yes. So I'm going instead of the Ambien sleep mode game. It is now my mental thing is the
bettors anonymous game. The bettors anonymous game.
Yes.
The seek God game.
Right.
Touch grass game. Is.
Absolutely.
But, you know, going into this game, the unfortunate part is we don't have clarity on probably the most important aspect of this game that we're going into. We don't know what Trevor Lawrence is going to do.
Yeah,
I would say that's the most important factor of what we're going to see on Sunday. If we have CJ Beathard, it's a completely different game than if we see Trevor Lawrence, even a relatively unhealthy Trevor Lawrence. So it's going to be tough to project, but you know, I think even before Trevor Lawrence got hurt on Monday night, I had kind of gone to bed thinking, you know, this team doesn't. Well, yeah, yes, they're 8-3. I've looked at their schedule many times. They've not really beaten anyone. They've lost to the better teams that they played.
Oh, Jacksonville.
They're 8-4 now.
They've
kind of preyed on a weak division. They've preyed on a weak schedule. They got like that division drew the NFC South this year. They haven't even played the Panthers and Bucks yet. But it's, you know, when you're getting torn apart by Jake Browning, some real soul searching needs to go on, because Jake Browning has never been that kind of guy. It gave me a little bit of confidence that, you know, even with Joe Flacco, that this team could hang. And a lot of that kind of stems from, you know, the defense is much better at home. The weather is going to be atrocious, as one does in Cleveland in December. This is why we shouldn't build a dome, because sometimes we need this help.
This is the quintessential Cleveland game. Especially with a team that is a Florida team coming north, I don't see how Trevor Lawrence is going to play in this game. I know he was limited in practice today, but I don't know how a team that has division winning aspirations like Jacksonville would want to risk losing their quarterback for the long haul. in a sloppy game in Cleveland against a defense that, like you said, plays better at home and is going to be fired up, you know, because they've been exposed these last couple of weeks. So it really seems like they are going to, you would think that this would be one of those rubber meets the road kind of games for Cleveland. And it would behoove Jacksonville to keep him on the sidelines for this game.
Yeah. I mean, I think
in my opinion,
I mean, we would be having the same debate if we were a Jaguars podcast. Like, yes, this win is important, but like,
if he goes out there and rolls his ankle any
further, you might lose him for the rest of the regular season. And at that point, you're risking losing to the Bucs. You're probably going to lose to the Ravens. You're risking losing to the Titans at the end. I'm not going to say you're going to lose to the Panthers because, good Lord.
Lord willing, if you lose to the Panthers.
The Panthers already got their Christmas Eve miracle. They didn't even need Jamie Meter to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would say like Baltimore would be the week that you would look for him next week. And if it's get a win against Baltimore, hope for some help from Indy and Houston that they lose some games, and then get everybody rested, you know. Try to get the division locked up as best you can, but rest.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. And like I said, to your point, we would be saying that this was if we were a Jacksonville team. If Cleveland was in this situation, I wouldn't want them to be playing Deshaun Watson on a, you know, hurt ankle. We wanted him to sit during the Indianapolis game. He ended up basically sitting the Indianapolis game.
It was embarrassing to look the way they did it.
Right. But yeah, I mean, we've been in this position this season with our quarterback. And we've all said basically like, yeah, man, get him out of there. There's no reason for this.
It's not worth it.
So
yeah,
not worth
it. The only issue with doing that is I'm sure that the 7 dozen fans in Jacksonville, they see the Texans schedule and they have games against, they have a game against the Jets, 2 games against the Titans and the Browns, the road Browns, who are not as good. So it's certainly something where the Texans could roll off 4 of their last 5 and finish 12 and 5. Or no, they would be 11-6. So like if you're the Jags, you only have to win 3 of those. So you could realistically sit Lawrence for the next 2 weeks against the Browns and Ravens and have him come back to face the Bucks, Bucks, Panthers, and Titans, who are not gonna affect it as much.
Yeah, like with the worst case scenario for the Jaguars is they maybe slip to the wild card, and I think you would rather just have Trevor healthy for the playoffs than really worry about like this week and potentially next week with that ankle. So like, I mean, yeah, like sure. It would be nice as a Browns fan if he just sat out, but I can understand as a Jaguars fan, like he probably needs to sit out just for the benefit of, we don't want to worry about this potentially when it matters, truly matters.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to do a deep dive onto Jaguars Twitter to see what the vibe is. Just reading some of the responses to beat reporters earlier today, they were kind of like, is he actually going to play? Like, holy shit. we saw his leg break, basically. But
yeah, seeing him throwing footballs today was not something I wanted to see.
Yeah.
At all.
I mean,
but you know,
I still think that there was a path for them to beat the Jaguars, even with Lawrence playing. Kirk being out certainly helps.
And
those are
Ward being Ward being back for Cleveland certainly
helps. Yeah, Miles being another week healthier. Miles being another week healthier. They could get Cam Mitchell back. They haven't activated him off IR, but he has been practicing.
They did the practice window then thing.
Yeah, he opened. They opened the practice window. I saw a tweet that they could activate him as soon as this weekend. So we'll see as we get closer. I think that would come tomorrow, wouldn't it? I think they have to do that stuff tomorrow.
It's either tomorrow or Saturday, but yes.
But
we're close on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Browns are definitely going to get players back. The weather is certainly going to be on their side. If it's C.J. Beathard out there, they're going to have a quarterback that's far more equipped to play in that weather. In Joe Flacco, probably.
Well, and C.J. Beathard is banged up too. Was he limited in practice?
Yeah, he's been limited. He's been limited both days.
He's got two injuries himself. It's very possible that they are possibly running that. Lawrence is the healthier of the two quarterbacks at this point, and despite what his ankle is, they're just going to run him out there.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, that feels bad, but
that does feel bad. But I'm just like, that's an entirely possible scenario that is happening with this with the Jags roster that we, you know, are having to deal with.
Yeah.
And that was just a thought that came to my mind today when I saw tweets about, you know, Beathard being injured, that it was possible that they are.
Look at what Nathan Rourke is doing. He's on their practice squad.
He's around.
He's on their practice squad. But, you know, speaking of quarterbacks, Gerbs, you missed out on the recap, the breakdown.
I did.
What are kind of your thoughts on the Joe Flacco experience?
Flacco is backo, I believe.
Is that what the kids are saying?
That's what the kids are saying. I had an article written, I think, that way, and then stuff happened. But I think he looked good. He looked like what Flacco can be in this offense, a competent game manager who isn't afraid to take a deep shot and do they're going to catch it or get DPI, you know, the not quite an arm punt, but a shot to the downfield. Uncle Rico, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, total Uncle Rico move.
Right. But he looked good. And I think, Taylor, you actually mentioned it in the Discord. Flacco is more what Stefanski wants out of a quarterback than a DTR or a Watson. That's what the offense is geared toward. His offenses are generally more geared toward those pocket guys that can
that gets the ball move where it needs to go.
Yes, they're more accurate. They're more quick timey. They're not as mobile as Watson and DTR. Obviously, they have made the offense work for those guys because he is a really good schemer and can get guys open and work those plays. But yeah, Flacco is more in line with what Stefanski wants to do on offense, and it showed Sunday where, like, it wasn't a bad offense. He threw completed passes to 9 different guys, I think, right? At least 9.
Yeah, like,
if not more.
Yeah, I believe it was at least 9. That's the graphic set on the TV.
But, I mean, you know, he moved it around, got it down the field, got it out, and you know, it wasn't a bad day on offense. It just wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And you know, the one mistake was on him. I wrote this week that it was on Stefanski for calling it. He has come out and said that it was basically a Flacco thing. Flacco came out and said that was basically on me. But I mean, 254, 3-for-2 touchdowns and one pick. I mean, he threw 44 times, which was more of trying to come back when they didn't need to. But, you know, 254, I talked about it last week. We have to change our metrics of what a good quarterback game is this year, where, you know, 300 was the minimum of having a good game. And now it's almost 200 is the minimum, and 250 is like a stunner. So, I mean, Flacco might have thrown for the most yards of any quarterback in a game this season.
I think Deshaun had more in one game. It was either
280 something, like against the Titans.
I think it was either Titans or the.
We can find it. Yeah. Matt, you were trying to say something before I cut you off, so go ahead and finish it out. I'll do some game logs.
Yeah, here. Like what I was trying to say was, it's with Flacco, it's almost like the offense went to like the default setting of what Stefanski usually likes to do. It's kind of like what with Jacoby Brissett last year, where like the default setting of the offense is usually the baseline is pretty good because of how Stefanski schemes it. And if the quarterback play is just good enough, they're able to get yardage, get points. Sure, it might seem very sluggish because it's not like the most like explosive offense you'll ever see, but it's at least effective. So like Joe Flacco was virtually like the default setting of the Stefanski offense, which is not a bad thing. It's an effective offense as long as the quarterback is okay and good enough.
Yeah, the issue where comparing him to Jacoby, which is my at halftime last week, that was kind of my thought. Is this kind of felt like a Jacoby Brissett game. The key difference between last year with Brissett and what we have the rest of the season with Flacco / DTR / God knows is Nick Chubb.
Right.
Defenses still had to respect Nick Chubb enough to pull guys into the box, even with Jacoby out there. So they don't necessarily... I mean, they're still doing that now. They're forcing the Browns to beat them through the air, and Flacco is the first one that I think can consistently do that. I mean, I think I saw a stat that since Deshaun went down, the Browns are facing on average like a box of 8.5. Whereas before they were facing 6.7.
Where'd they get half a guy?
How does one do that?
I don't know. I mean, some of those linebackers are smart,
The look of disdain on Taylor's face as I said that was all I've ever needed in my life. If I could bottle that.
Some of that disdain was me being unable to come up with a witty response in time to make it relevant.
It was at me and at yourself on that one. For the record, Deshaun had 289 in week 3 against the Titans. PJ Walker had 249 against Seattle. So Joe Flacco has the second most passing yards by a Browns quarterback in his debut as a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah.
So on the season.
DJ is third with 248 against Seattle.
Right. So yeah, it's been a weird year, everybody.
I mean, there's four names on our leading passer list here. So,
right. As far as the defense, I'm excited. Ward is back. As you said, Christian Kirk is out. He's already been listed out, correct?
He's been DNP, but they've said he's going to be a couple weeks. So I can't imagine this.
But not having to run Martin Emerson on the ones and Greg Newsome on the outside is a nice commodity for Cleveland, because that was getting exposed over the last couple of weeks. I don't know how much of that was the corners or how much of that was Ronnie McLeod being out.
I think there's a decent chance it was a good mix.
Yeah. It was definitely a multitude of factors, I believe. So, yeah.
I mean,
you also have to consider Myles Garrett being hobbled has hurt the run D because you're not allowed, you're not able to have Sedarius be a run blocker, you know, a run stopper in that point. And your Ogbo is having to pass rush. Sedarius is having to pass rush because you're just not getting it from Miles. If he's more healthy this week, that's another emphasis.
Mixed
that,
with
that
the Jaguars well. Potentially not having their left tackle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm looking at the Jaguars receiving stats here. Christian Kirk is their leading receiver. He's their leading receiver by 98 yards and 6 receptions. Calvin Ridley has 51 receptions for 689 yards and 5 touchdowns. He actually leads the team in touchdowns. But after that, it drops down to Evan Ingram, and he has 73 receptions. And then it drops to 40, 18, 11, 8. Like, Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, and Evan Ingram are basically their entire pass offense with the outside chance of...
And Ingram had his first touchdown on Monday.
Yeah. I mean, he has 91 targets, but only 600 yards. So,
right.
Yeah, the balance there isn't, like, he's not generating efficient numbers there. You know, Travis Etienne is someone that I think could give the Browns a bit of trouble. And he's just good. But, you know, it all kind of depends on who's at quarterback. I mean, C.J. Beathard has a career 80 quarterback rating. And that's not QBR. That's the quarterback rating that goes up to 153. So 80 is low.
Mm-hmm.
I think his career QBR is probably even lower. His career QBR is 13. Or no, his season QBR is 13.
Whew, not good.
Yeah, not what you want. But just... If it's C.J. Beathard, you have no reason to lose. If it's Trevor Lawrence, I mean, you're still at home. The weather's still going to suck. You still have a good defense. I tried to look it up. I don't think Trevor Lawrence has ever played a game in super bad weather like this.
I don't know. You find more things like that than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are the weird stats guy of this group.
I can't remember. I think it was actually Deshaun Watson that played in that game against Notre Dame at Clemson where the field was flooded. I don't think that was Trevor Lawrence at that point.
I forgot it went Watson-Lawrence.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, they had really good college quarterbacks for a while there. It was kind of annoying. As someone who does not like Clemson, even though I live down here.
This is the first year that I've like paid more attention to college football this year. So, yeah, it's all good. But anyway, we're on a podcast. Don't need to just like all of a sudden have a brain fart there. I had a thing that I was going to bring up, and now I can't remember it. Because I'm old. I'm aged.
I think we would definitely want to see the running game find some efficiency. I'm starting to believe that might just be kind of a hopeless cause at this point.
Yeah, like a lot of like if the run offense would find some traction, that would be nice because lately it seems like Kareem Hunt has been more dependent on, and if Kareem Hunt is being depended on more, you know, the running game's not doing well because like he's old, he's not the same Kareem that he used to, and yeah, that just kind of what has been like. Would I like more Pierre Strong carries? Sure, but it seems like they don't want to because he's not good at pass blocking. So like, there's probably that reason. But yeah, they just need some level of competency in the run game to like at least balance out the offense.
I think one of the graphs that I saw this week had him in the boomer bust, like the quadrant that said boomer bust, where his expected yards over yards over expected and whatever put him in that quadrant, and like it makes sense. This the kind of carries you would expect out of a starting running back to this point. He only has 150 right now for the entire season. Which where would Nick Chubb be right now? About 230, maybe?
Something like
that. Yeah, he'd definitely be in the 200s. Easily 200s. I was gonna say, what was Henry's biggest was 370, right?
Yeah, but that's borderline.
Right. I'm just saying, like, that's the high end. I don't know that Chubb touches would probably be around like 260 by this point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, right. I'm looking at it now.
This is Alex Hasty, the host of Ohio versus the World, an American history podcast. On Ohio vs. the World, we'll travel back in time with the authors, historians, and even witnesses to visit the most exciting, consequential, and too often overlooked topics that have shaped America's history. There seems to be an Ohio connection to so many important moments.
When you said Ohio vs. the World, we did some damage.
So join us and we'll take a deep dive to enlighten, educate, and entertain you as Ohio vs. the World makes history fun again.
Yeah, Ford just needs to, they need to commit to the run. I do believe that Jerome Ford is the better running back of the two, of three, if you want to include Pierre Strong. He only had 19 yards this last week to Strong's 20 and Hunt's 48, but I really feel like Ford should be your like between the 20s guy, and just let Hunt work in the red zone. Getting him some rush would be better for me than
I think the big key to that would be getting Flacco to make defenses back off a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't fear what DTR or PJ Walker were going to do to them down the field. Maybe as Flacco, like part of what Flacco did last week is he showed that he could still do it. So maybe defenses will back up just a little bit. I wouldn't expect him to totally back out and play cover two, like too deep the entire game. But
oh no, with what he demonstrated, they at least got to respect it. It's like when a 3-point shooter has the gravity of. Like you know the gravity of a really good three-point shooter, they have to respect it no matter what. And at least with Flacco, like he throws deep enough to where it's like you gotta at least respect it a little bit because
we're not running out there with the Steph Curry of quarterbacks as far as backing defenses up, but like we're at least Isaac Okoro when he's good. And that was a bad comparison on the grand scheme of the NBA, but you know it works for Cleveland. So
it's just a hit, man.
We don't know that. What did Isaac do to you?
Nothing. I think he's a good 3-point shooter. I don't think he's definitely not bad, but he's not.
He just
oh my god, we have to follow him around.
He doesn't shoot at high volume, so like that's why nobody really truly respects him if you ever watch. But I would like at least. I would say a better comparison is like maybe George Niang, who his percentages are down, but because he's shot 40% for like 5 years straight, you have to respect it no matter what. So like that's kind of what Flacco is. Even if he's at 38, you got to respect the fact that he still can throw the ball deep with decent velocity still like that.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that surprised me the most and, you know, made me the most excited about, you know, seeing Flacco the rest of the way is he still throws a really nice ball. Like all of those football, most like, I don't want to say all, but like 75 to 80% of the balls he threw on last week went exactly where they needed to go. They were tight spirals. They had as much velocity as they needed.
Right.
So like that, When you're down to this point in your offense, that's all you really need. You just need a guy who's going to distribute the ball consistently and accurately and to the right receiver. I don't feel like we're going to have Amari Cooper this week, so yay. But it's
To the point of completing, though, and no Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore went 4 for 12, which he just needs to have a better game. That just, it's far too many attempts without success. He had 83 yards on the day for a long of 42, but I mean, that's, your efficiency has to be better than that if you're going to be without Cooper going into this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a matter of finding guys, and Njoku needs to get back to where he was. Elijah Moore can keep finding openings. I mean, I think Flacco was going to find him. He had his best game, so it's a matter of just continuing to get those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think that's about all I have to say about the game. Without knowing what Jacksonville has, their defense has been good. I think they rank in the top 10 or top half in DVOA. But their defense is obviously going to want to prove that they aren't as bad as what they showed on Monday, because they got lit up by Jake Browning. And if you get lit up by Jake Browning, you're going to have a whole lot of bad beatings.
Yeah, like they do have something to prove this week, and so they're going to probably try to like bring their best. But obviously, if you have that showing against a beat up Bengals, where Joe Mixon looks like prime Joe Mixon and Jake Browning looked like the second coming, like that's going to have a lot of questions that they're going to need to answer, because like I think I mentioned it on Sunday, they kind of have been just taking advantage of their schedule. I question how good they are. And on Monday, they pretty much raised the same questions and amplified them, because it's like, Jake Browning should not torch you like they did. Like, it's Jake Browning. It's not like, man, come on.
I will say that I don't think I would venture to say they're not a good team. I think they're a good team. I think they're a good AFC South team that doesn't also beat itself. And that's something that you have to be prepared for on Sunday. They're not going to go out there and destroy themselves and take themselves out of the game and roll over and die at halftime. They're gonna play, and even if it's CJ Beathard, they're gonna try and win. I mean, they're looking at this like even if they have CJ Beathard out there, they're looking at this game the same way that we are. Like, this is a quarterback you can take advantage of. This offense is beat to hell. The defense should be able to handle it. The weather's going to suck. Bet the under.
Yeah, right. And the crowd should be behind them, which this defense seems to be fueled by the crowd. So, like, they should be able to, like, bring their A game if the trends are the trends.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think them just not having Trevor Lawrence makes it it was a winnable game already. I think it makes it without Trevor Lawrence, it becomes a must win. Like, when you're fighting for a playoff spot, you can't lose to CJ Beathard.
Oh no. Like, if CJ Beathard is playing, I think the Vegas line swung from like Jaguars being a 3 or 4 point favorite to like basically a pick 'em. So, like, they should.
When the line came out on Monday, it was Jaguars minus 3.5. By Tuesday morning, it was Browns minus 1. It is now Browns minus 3. So, and it hasn't moved this afternoon with Lawrence practicing. We'll probably see, if we see any line movement, it'll be tomorrow. But, you know, it swung 6.5 points because they don't have Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
So
doesn't appear to be.
It doesn't appear that they're going to have Trevor Lawrence. It's 1.5 points.
And so. Vegas knows. Vegas always knows.
Allegedly.
There's a reason that their buildings are really big and their lights are really bright.
Yeah.
The house always wins. I'll say that.
And they have stadiums shaped like Roombas. Okay. Well, I think now would be a good time to transition into our picks for the week. First, we'll go over last week. We have a change at the top, sort of.
This isn't a change. It's not a change.
We have.
It's not a change.
The top,
sir.
The peak of the mountain had to get a little wider. I have caught up to Gerbs. We are both tied at 103. I did that by going 5-0 in my picks last week.
Yeah.
I picked the Texans, Colts, Falcons, Niners, and Rams. Gerbs picked the Texans, Colts, Falcons, Eagles, and Rams. So you lost points by going with the Eagles. Matt had a rough week. He picked the Broncos, the Eagles, and the Browns. He picked the Broncos, Eagles, and Browns. And got the Colts and Falcons right. As far as our prop bets go, the Browns total yards over under 322.5. Matt and I took the over and we hit. Browns rush yards over under 114.5. We all took the over and did not get it. Stafford passing yards over under 263.5, which was 15 more than his season average as it was. Matt was the only one who took the over. I think he finished with close to 300. So he got that point. Rams rushing yards over under 121.5. It finished under. Matt got it right. But it wasn't under by much. I think they had like 113 or something. I'm going to check real quick. No, they had 120. So it's even closer. Browns sacks plus takeaways over under 5.5. We all said under. It was under. Browns cover, we all said yes, and they very much did not. So we have an interesting slate of games to pick this week. I don't know if you guys have gotten a sneak preview of it, but we will go ahead and start with everyone's favorite division, the NFC South.
Ugh.
Bucks at Falcons.
Oh, God.
Falcons are 2.5-point favorites. Good luck.
Oh, God. I don't even know where to begin.
Desmond Ridder, Baker Mayfield. I'm going to go Falcons. As oddly as it is, I think they're actually like not a bad team.
They just have bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, the quarterbacks are not great, but they have a really good defense. They have a good defense. They have guys. They just need somebody to throw them the ball, efficiently, goodly. I guess is
just maybe not throw the ball to somebody. That just literally that's all they need.
Right. But yeah, Falcons for me. I can't trust the Bucks. And this is not like Ghost of Baker that are coming back. It's literally just I can't trust the Bucks. So.
Can you trust the Falcons?
I can't trust any of these teams.
I can trust the crazy camera angle guy.
That's the guy I can trust. If they are in like, Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the Bucks. I think I trust the Bucks more than I trust the Falcons, to be honest. The Falcons find ways to lose. The Bucs at least have Mike Evans to bail out Baker.
That is true. That's probably why I'm maybe leaning with the Bucs, just because you're right. Mike Evans can definitely bail out the.
They don't beat the Panthers last week without Mike Evans.
That's true. Like that could be. That's a big reason why. So yeah, Bucs.
Okay, you got another fun one to pick. We got. Indy at Cincy. Bengals are now 1.5-point favorites.
I have no idea. I mean, I get why. Because, again, they just beat the Jacksonville Jaguars on Monday night. But they had to go to overtime.
Yeah.
It's Indy for me. I think they are scary as a Browns team that is looking at a possible.
Luckily, we got that tiebreaker,
you know, playoff. Yeah, I know we have the tiebreaker, but like you're fighting for a playoff spot with the Colts right now, and they are definitely fighting. That they're having some fights, so I think the Colts are going to take down Cincinnati on that one and not let Browning throw all over them.
Yeah, I think I have more trust in the Colts, so I'm going to go with the Colts for the same reasons.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Colts just because if Jake Browning is going to be a savior, he's going to have to show it to me more than once.
Yeah.
Okay, we got one that has a lot of playoff implications. I think the loser is pretty much done. We got Broncos at Chargers.
Broncos.
I would say the Chargers are already done.
I mean, I would venture that way too, but in the same vein.
I mean, we've been on. I've been on Brandon Staley fire watch for
a year and a half.
5 weeks, 6 weeks.
He was lucky. He survived.
I've been on it since the meltdown against the Jaguars. Like that's when I knew.
Yeah.
Like yeah, this might not work. But that's the thing. I don't know if I trust the prop.
You go ahead. You go ahead, Matt. I'm used to going first. You go okay. First.
I don't trust both of these teams, but I guess I'll just go with the Broncos because I feel like the Chargers will just charger their way into a loss somehow. And I'll go.
Counterpoint, the Broncos have been known to do the same thing the last couple years.
Yeah, it's like unstoppable force meets immovable object. Who's going to screw up more? Like, you know,
force meets movable object.
I really want to take the Broncos and get a different point here, but, if everybody's going Broncos, I will stay with Denver on that one.
I actually haven't picked yet. I was going to go with the Chargers.
I know, but it was more so Matt. Not that I don't think of you as a threat here, Taylor, since you're tied with me, but I go off Matt more than they go off your picks. That's not any kind of offense. I literally just what I was thinking.
I'll just crawl into a corner and die, I guess.
That's fine. Thanks for making this really cool spreadsheet. I appreciate it.
It's my lasting legacy.
Right. I think Denver has turned the corner. Whether that corner be filled with sums of money that are going to people that knock other players out, that's remains to be seen. Who would ever question such a thing?
Looking at you, Sean Payton.
Where's that Greg Williams podcast when you need it?
Come get some. Join the pod. We need the details.
Yeah. The reason I bring all this up, there was a Benjamin Albright tweet for those who were unknowing on the podcast that said, this is a beat writer who does have connections like around the league. Hold on a second. Who knows many things, but tweeted out, no, there is no
like
bounty system.
Yeah, like there is no there,
I don't know why anybody would. I don't know why anybody would ever question that. I sent it to Discord and I was like, really? You have no idea why someone would question that?
Jim Albright has already forgotten 2007.
Yeah,
2008 or whatever it was.
Is on his second suspension this year for illegal hits.
I think Dale might have had his leg snapped last week.
Yeah,
right.
At this point, it's either the greatest coincidence in the history of coincidences or something's up. Like, I'm not usually tinfoil hat guy, but it's just weird. Something's weird.
I'm going with the Chargers, by the way.
I don't want to attribute malice to what can best be contributed as incompetence. But I mean, we're close, man.
Yeah.
It's just more so the, like, you really can't question that. Really?
Until it's proven, you can't question that. I picked the Chargers, by the way. I just think that the Broncos defense is still not very good. They've been completely relying on getting turnovers. They didn't get turnovers last week and they lost. Next game we have is by all accounts the game of the week. We have the Eagles coming off of an embarrassing beatdown going to Dallas.
That's going to be a good one. I think for me, I still trust the Eagles. I've just never been a fan of like Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys. It feels like this is the type of game they usually just kind of crawl up and die, especially with better opponents. So I'll still go with the Eagles. Feels like it's a rebound game for them.
I will go with who I would say is the MVP at this moment, Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Cowboys as well.
My wife said Taylor Swift. And while she is the time player of the person of the year, she is not the NFL MVP.
Look, when she called out the Dads, Brads, and Chads, she definitely called you out.
She did. I wanted to send that to you, Gert.
She struck right at the heart of your entire existence.
I was firmly in the Dads, Brads, and Chads on that one, and I am okay with that.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys as well. I think they're playing better right now. I think, yes, while the Eagles are 10-2 and they've earned that, like, there's certainly some very exposable flaws that they have. The Cowboys probably could have beaten them in Philly earlier this season had their tight end been in the end zone when he caught that pass, or Dak Prescott had any awareness where his feet were. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys. They're at home. Philly is reeling a bit probably from getting absolutely smacked in the head. And I think the Cowboys are probably destined to win that division at this point. Let's get into some prop bets. We're going to get weird this week. I don't have any player props. There is not a single player prop on here. Because I don't know who's playing. We got Browns rushing yards over under 126.5.
I will go under because I don't think DTR is playing. And even if they get 100, that's still like a good rushing game. But I don't think having the mobile quarterback helps with that. And without with Flacco back there, it's not going to happen for me.
Yeah, I think I'll probably go under as well. Like Gerbs mentioned with Flacco, the running aspect of the quarterback is gone, and like they definitely need to prove something. So I'm just gonna go under.
I'm gonna take the over, mostly because I think the weather is gonna dictate that the game's gonna have to be played on the ground a little bit more on both sides. So I think they're gonna have to find ways to establish that. The Bengals have a absolutely terrible rush offense, and they were able to run the ball on the Jags last week. So I'm being hopeful. Jaguars total yards over under 309.5. They averaged 346, but the Browns haven't given up 300 yards all that many times, and the weather might suck.
I think I'll go under just because I feel like the way the weather will dictate things, it feels like under feels like a safe bet.
I'm also going under for weather wise. And again, if it's better, like, are they really going to go over 400 yards? But yeah.
I said 309.5.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I said four, and I was like, I mean three, but yeah.
I was like, wait a second. Did I say the wrong thing? I'm going to go under as well. I think the weather is going to dictate this game. I think the obvious, this is almost a question of who is playing quarterback more than it is how is the offense going to play. So, got one that we haven't done. This is a new one we haven't done yet this year. Actually, these last four are all ones we have not done yet this year. Which team has more sacks?
More sacks.
Cleveland. Because Joe Buck very publicly shamed Jacksonville for only having the one pass rusher, despite the fact that they used their first pick on Kayvon it was Thibodeau, right?
No, Trayvon Austin, I think, as I saw his name.
Mm-hmm. Was it Austin? Thibodeau was in
New York.
New York. But yeah, they used a high pick on a pass rusher last year, and Joe Buck said, literally, they only have one pass rusher.
Yeah. And, the other Josh Allen.
I mean, Josh Allen is a good pass rusher.
He is. I'm not saying he's not, but like the other guy was like, he's right there, Joe. Like,
he's got a family.
Yeah,
he exists, my guy.
In front of their wife and kids. Yeah.
His name is Trayvon Walker. He has 5 sacks.
Right, Walker. Yes.
5 sacks. Josh Allen has 13 and a half. But
Sure.
But yeah, they're I mean, Josh Allen is someone that can terrorize this Browns offensive line, but I think I'm going to go with the Browns simply because I think Schwartz has driven them up a wall this week because they haven't gotten a sack since the Steelers game.
Yeah, his press conference said as much, it sounded like. The book of Schwartz was thrown at the defense practically, like it behind closed doors.
The book of Revelation, according to Schwartz.
Matt, are you going?
Yeah, Browns.
Okay, another fun one. Total passing yards in the game, over under 374.5.
Going to go. I'll go over.
Yeah,
I do think it'll be a little mushy, whatever. But I mean, 200 per team, and you get over. So,
yeah, I think it'll be an over too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unless the forecast changes back to what it was a couple days ago, where it was 20 to 30 mile an hour winds and not 10 to 20 mile an hour winds, I think over is more likely than under. But, you know, if that forecast shifts back to strong winds, it might be tough. If it's CJ Beathard, it might be tough for them to get to the required 170-something if you're going to split it down the middle. Or, 190-something.
Right.
So, we got total rushing attempts over under 55.5.
55.5. I would say over, just because, like, if the weather is as bad as it seems to be, running the ball might be the way to go. So over.
I'm gonna say under. I'm going to give no analysis.
Okay.
Gerbs can predict the weather. It's going to not be this bad.
Gerbs is a weatherman.
I don't know. I just think it's going to be under.
28 per team is a lot.
28 per team is a lot. But also, I mean, we saw just Cleveland last week. They had
20
themselves. So, I mean, like, barely over 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to I don't I can see a world where it's at like 45, not 55. But yeah. Okay.
I'm going to go with the under as well. unless the weather gets real bad, I don't think we're going to see 60 rushing attempts. But weather is weather. No one expected the weather we got in week one, and we got it. So,
you know, weather is weather. That's a good, you know.
Yeah, put that on a t-shirt.
Statement. I'm going to file that under my own Taylorisms here. We got, in the last prop, we have longest field goal attempted over under 47.5.
And there goes the over. What was it? Oh, sorry.
You put it ahead.
Longest field goal attempted over under 47.5.
Ooh. I'll just say the wind doesn't seem like it'll dictate that, like, the kicking game that much, so I'll say over.
You have put the half in, so we can't do the patented Taylor push?
Nope.
On this one?
Nope. And I toyed with making it 45.5, but I was like, that's too short. Someone will attempt a 46-yard field goal.
I'll go under. I don't
know. I think I'm going to go under as well. I just don't know if they're going to get to that point where they're kicking long field goals.
I don't know if anybody's going to want. I don't know that some of these teams will want to risk those.
Look, unless Stefanski is stuck at a 4th and 9 in a spot where he'd kick a 48-yard field goal, I don't think he's going to kick a long field goal. I think he's going to opt to go for it in those situations, knowing the weather situation.
Yeah.
And we got game picks. Browns are 3-point favorites as of right now. That can always shift.
I will go with the Browns. I feel like they're a good home team. The weather's on their side. And with Flacco getting another week under his belt, the offense could be look a little bit better than it did last week. So I'll go Browns.
I will also go Browns.
Yeah, I think the vibe for this, I mean, I'm going to go Browns as well, but I think, you know, the vibe here was always for me that this was a winnable game, even with Trevor Lawrence. A hobbled Trevor Lawrence versus C.J. Beathard, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how hobbled Trevor Lawrence is. Obviously, he can still throw, but can he move? Do you want him to move and plant and throw on a wet field?
I will say it became a winnable game when Flacco was
solid,
better than competent.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like that's once it became apparent that Flacco was better than what we thought he was going to be, or you know, the better than the worst case. I think that's when it became a winnable game.
And another factor, Joe Flacco has been in the AFC North. He knows this. He's been around bad weather, like 15 years of playing in Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. He has big hands too. So like if the weather does get funky, he knows how to deal with the elements.
Wonder how he's going to deal with the cognitive dissonance of being cheered in that stadium.
Oh, that's going to be so weird. It's going to be so weird because I'm actually going to be at that game too. It's going to be so weird having to cheer for the man that was causing so much heartbreak when I was a young lad.
Eh.
I don't know how much because the Browns were so bad. But
from a guy who has seen many guys leave, you know, it's... You root for the players, and you root for the clothes, man. That's what you're rooting for. And you know, if Mason Rudolph came to Cleveland, you know, or you know, I don't know, like,
there's too much bad blood there.
Maybe not Rudolph. If
not even
might have been a bad example.
If yeah. T.J. Watt all of a sudden came to Cleveland somehow, you know what I mean, like. Mike Tomlin is the quarterback, or is the coach, and we're, you know, rooting for him. Like that,
we are in bizarro world now.
Oh, right. Yeah, like, what's the, I what's like the Jerry Seinfeld bit where it's like, oh, you're just ultimately rooting for Laundry, and it's like, it don't matter who's in it.
Right.
You'll ultimately just be rooting for the guy anyway, just because we are psychos and we just don't care because we just want to win.
Right. Yeah. Rooting for Laundry. That's what you do. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we'll do on Sunday.
Yep.
It'll be weird, but I'll be rooting in the stands.
bring a rain jacket, bring a poncho.
Yes, sir.
Galoshes, it appears.
Look, I was at that game against Buffalo 15 years ago or 16 years ago. I was not prepared.
It's a 1,000-yard stare raver there from you.
Kid from North Carolina was not prepared for that. People from Cleveland weren't prepared for that.
True.
Oh, yeah. We're built different up here, buddy.
But no one in that stadium was prepared for 8 inches of snow during the game with 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts.
Built diff.
Okay. Well, on that note, we will note that the Patriots Steelers over has already hit. It's not halftime. It's
already hit at a half.
And we will be back on Sunday. We'll actually record on Sunday this time because we are done playing 4 o'clock games, I believe.
Well, nice. Matt will have to get home from the game.
Yeah,
but yes,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's true. So it'll be a later pod than usual. If
yeah, I mean, know. if he's thawed enough, we'll record on Sunday.
hopefully, I don't blow away. That's the goal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyone have anything left to add?
No.
No. Go Browns.
Go Browns.
Go Browns.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.